In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today we have the wonderful celebration of the Divine Liturgy and the baptism of the infant, now the illumined servant of God, Daniel Michael. It's a day of great joy and great celebration because another person is incorporated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of eternal light and life and truth and goodness and all of these things that God has prepared for his creation. It's a day of great joy. In the two Gospels that we heard today, we heard an invitation to this kingdom. First, in the Great Commission for the disciples to go out and to invite all to enter into the kingdom of God by being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by observing everything that the Lord has commanded, because he is with us even unto the end of the age. And secondly, we heard in the parable of the great feast, the great banquet, that the Lord sent out his servants so that everybody might be invited to the feast. This parable speaks to us about the work of Jesus Christ. We know that historically this parable was given to the Jews, who were initially called to this kingdom. They were the chosen people of God. They were the first to receive that invitation to come to the feast, to the heavenly banquet. And we know, as the scriptures tell us, that the Jews did not accept this invitation, that they turned away, that they sought other things. And they offered excuses for themselves, why they couldn't come to the kingdom, why they couldn't accept the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it says in the parable that the master was angry. He's very angry. Back in St. Matthew's account of this parable, he records that the master sent out his armies to destroy those people and to burn up their city. St. Nikolai Velimirovich tells us that this did come to pass. Remember what happened to the Jewish people after they rejected their Messiah, after they turned away from their Savior. Just 40 years later, the Romans came and they destroyed the city, as the Lord prophesied. Not one stone was left upon another stone in the temple. Everything was torn down. The Jewish people then were scattered throughout the world to the four ends of the earth. But the Lord was so patient with them because he had been calling them for so long. From the very beginning, from all of the prophets that he had sent, from Moses and Aaron, the priests that he had sent, from those who were among the righteous rulers, he had been calling his people to come into heaven and to life as it should be. And even when they rejected the Christ and they crucified him and nailed him to the cross and cried out, his blood be upon us and upon our children, even then God was patient with them. And he gave 40 more years for them to accept the apostolic preaching, for them to realize what they had done and come to repentance. But only when their stubbornness had come to its fullness did he finally destroy their city. This is a parable given historically to the Jews. But it's also given to us as Christians, because we are the inheritors of the wealth that the Jews passed upon. We are those people who the servants went out to call next. The poor, the lame, the blind, the maimed. Those who were in the highways and the hedges. Those who were out beyond Israel and the rest of the world. We are those who were called into this heavenly banquet, into this kingdom. And we receive that call. It's a wonderful calling for life as it should be. We receive that baptism, as Daniel Michael has today. We receive that teaching, trying to observe everything that the Lord has commanded. We receive that communion with God because he is with us even unto the end of the age. We enter into that feast. We sit at that table. We rejoice and partake of that eternal life. But this parable is also given to us as a warning. You know, sometimes we think when we hear these parables that expose the foolishness of the Jews, that we can point the finger and say, "Ha, how foolish you were." But we are so wise that we've accepted Christ, and we've entered into his kingdom. And to be sure, there's some truth to that. The Jews were foolish, and we are wise to accept the Christ. But we have to remember that the kingdom has only come in part. That the kingdom will come in its fullness with the second coming of Christ. And we'll be called to enter into that fullness. The invitation will go out yet again. Come, enter into the feast. And as Christians, we have to be ready to respond. We can't give the excuses that the Jews had given. And what were those excuses? Does anyone remember what the excuses were from the parable today? What was one excuse that was given?
I have a wife.
I have a wife. That's right. The excuse was that I can't come to the kingdom because of my family. Pretty good excuse. Family is something of value. We cherish family. It's a pretty good excuse. What was another excuse?
The person that appeals.
That's right. Someone bought some property. They had property they needed to attend to. They had responsibilities. And what was the final excuse?
The cow.
That's right. They had bought oxen, right? And they had to go and take care of the oxen. They had work to do. So the three excuses that the Jews gave is family, property, and work. Family, property, and work. If you think about the highest activity on earth that the human being can be about without God, strictly earthly. We have these three things. Family, attending to our property, and our work. This is what the world focuses on and is attending to. But Christ calls us to something higher. Calls us to something more. He calls us to a kingdom that is not of this world, that is much, much higher. And he asks us to put these other things in a secondary place. Not to totally devalue them. There's an importance to family and to working hard and to managing what God has entrusted to us as good stewards, the property that he's given to us. There's an importance there, but it's secondary. It's secondary to our relationship with God and to our acceptance of his kingdom. When Christ comes again and that invitation goes out, we have to ask ourselves, how will we respond? We'd like to say, "Oh, Lord, let me come. I would be happy to, of course." But it doesn't always work that way, because we may have accustomed ourselves to responding in a different manner. What happens with the daily invitation to enter into the kingdom? The weekly invitation on Sunday, the Divine Liturgy, to enter into the feast, to celebrate. What happens on the big feast days of the year? Pascha, Christmas, Pentecost. When the invitation goes out to come, to celebrate the feast, to rejoice in the kingdom, are we responding yes? Or are we accustomed to saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, I have family, I have property I need to address. And I have work that I need to do." What is our response? Brothers and sisters, this time is given to us, this temporary time, to prepare ourselves for eternity. And we condition ourselves. We chart our course. We set our trajectory. In a sense, the cement of our heart is still wet now. It's still soft. We can write in it. But whatever we write in this life, when it ends, and that cement hardens, is what we'll have for the rest of eternity. Brothers and sisters, our prayer for Daniel Michael, for his family, for the friends, is that what will be written in the human heart is an acceptance of God in this kingdom. And this will happen daily, not just on the day of his baptism, but on every single day thereafter, on every single Sunday thereafter, on every single feast day thereafter, on every single moment thereafter, so that our God who offers us so much, and as it says in the parable, compels us to come into the feast, will be able to welcome Daniel Michael, and his family, his friends, and each and every one of us, and the whole world into this heavenly kingdom. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.